Welcome back to the Mix Files. This is part two of the Max Sanders interview. And it's a good one. You find the Mix Files premiered with a new interview each week on Saturday Night Rocks with EBS and Friends. EBS would be Dr. Maurice. Friends would be Daddy Rabbit, Vivo Del, Dolce. Or, so Dolce cannot complain about always being last, Friends could be Dolce, Daddy Rabbit, Devo Dell, and me, Cooter, host of the Mix Files. We appreciate you tuning back in for another. Hope you enjoy it. Mac is going to share some of the inspirations and the stories behind some of his tunes in part two. We talk a little more about that than we did Fibonacci and phrasing and such in part one. You are listening to us on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com, and we are grateful that you are. I believe I'll just hush my mouth and let the music take us on into the conversation with Mac and I. Hope you enjoy it.
Collaborations before you found Mixposure, or did that come to be after you found Mixposure?
I think that was a result of Mixposure. It was a result of it. What I was looking for was a place to post songs that had an ISRC code attachment to the download so that the song could be tracked. Mm-hmm. Because I had, you know, going through CD Baby, I had realized the need, you know, for that code, which I had to submit to RIAA in Washington, D.C. for. And so I noticed on the downloads that Mixposure had that provision. And then as a result of the chat, I began to see, you know, there's just so many things to learn about human nature. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I really, really realized, I think, is everybody wants to feel important. And we're basically a value-oriented species. And our first value is ourselves. And we want to feel good about ourselves. And that's the reason why we do music. And it became an exercise for me of how it is that you bring what you've got to the marketplace, which is the chat room. This is a marketplace, right? You got an idea, you bring it here, you present it, and if anybody cares about it, they'll be there because of it. If they're not, they won't be there. And so, very much, you know, bring it, see what people think about it. They'll tell you, and you know they won't be kind about it. They'll just tell you, or they'll indicate it one way or another. Mm-hmm. So, it was that, and I was looking around for information. You know, there's a lot of people in the chat room that are very, very savvy on a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to Lonnie. Lonnie can get into this Beer Hunter. He can get into a lot of recording techniques from the London Project. Wow, what a great sound they get. Uh-huh. Lucindra is magnificent at her task, at her job as a producer, and has a lot of marketing skills and things like that.
Yeah.
And, it became a deal of, you know, how it is that you establish lines of communication. So I just looked at the chat room as a place to establish protocol with those folks to see who you could work with and how. Uh-huh. And, you know, just because you hadn't worked with someone doesn't mean you can't. It's a matter of how it is that you go about establishing the protocol. And so that and the fact that I think you just look for the closest magic that you can reach for.
Uh-huh.
You know.
I think a lot of people can relate to that statement.
Yeah. Larry T, I think, probably it was the second. The first one was with Bud Drumming. California Dreaming, and that was he just came along and said, here, we want to help you try something. So I'll put it out there and just to see how it was. We went about it and learned how to send the file, then I think Larry T came along with In Your Arms, and that just floored me because I'd had an experience several years before that about, you know, a fellow running off the road with his pickup truck. And it just all sort of came crashing in, you know, Hearing Your Arms came out of that.
It's late in the evening, and here I go. Blues after midnight on the radio, and these white lines seem to move so fast, and yet they move so slow. The blue lights in the distance on the interstate, somebody shaking hands with the hand of fate. It makes me need you even more, baby. But how long can I wait? And here I go again. Thinking thoughts again. I'm gonna hold on to this wheel and just pretend I'm in your arms. In a dreamy place, just you and me. And we move in slow motion like the good guys on TV. Why can't time stand still when we're together like it does for me now? Never understand it. It makes no sense somehow. Weary eyes in the windshield. There's a song in the wind singing me back to the place where it seems like I've always been. Take a deep, deep breath, and once again I see it's the same moonlit vector stretched out there in front of me. And here I go again, thinking thoughts again. Gonna hold on to this wheel and just pretend. I'm like a deer in the headlight, got my foot on the brake, but I don't know how much more of this road I can take. I know the rain falls down, you know my thoughts of you, darling, are the only thing that's gonna keep me away. Through the glistening darkness, it's gonna be alright. A candle in your window, guiding me home tonight. Are you waiting for me, darling? Only heaven knows. But I will follow this road if I can just find out which way it goes. But here I go again. I'm thinking these thoughts again. And as I hold on to this wheel and just pretend I'm here in your arms.
And then the Carol Sue and Joseph Rodriguez came along with the tune and set me free and gave me a chance to sing on that one. And it just sort of, it blossomed. There's a lot of cases where I would do a PM chat with somebody, and if they were really feeling bad or, you know, almost wanting to give up and stuff, a lot of times I just take and copy that, stick it in a notepad, mm-hmm. and just mouse it. Moonlight Shuffle was a song like that. It just resulted out of a chat.
Put my head down on my desk today. I closed my eyes. I felt myself slipping away. I was slipping away. Miles and miles of difference between the two of us. Like a frequent flyer on a Greyhound bus. One that's hell-bent for the coast, rolling fine as she can be. Oh, yeah. Where the evening torches wave wild in the wind. And they play the blues from a dirt dance floor. And night rolls in. And it's right there I'm gonna make my stand. Fly around in lazy circles with a drink in my hand. Keep the moon on my shoulder, but chase away the pain. Just a little bit of madness to keep me from going insane. And do a brand new dance just here with my duffel. Call the moonlight shuffle. That's just another day. But where I was, wasn't gonna make it anyway. I ain't gonna let this pain possess my soul. All this fighting over money lays in a box somewhere dead and cold. And one more thing before I toss this phone. Just be careful, baby, of the things you believe to be written in stone. Think about it when you're all alone.
Sitting here testing out some guitars for Joe to take up in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
a little Martin. He was onto a thing where he wanted to do some tunes that required mahogany sounding guitars that are nice and warm. Mm-hmm. And he picked up a Martin and a Harmony mahogany guitars.
Uh-huh.
And I had been working on both of them a little bit. And Dad and I just drew them out to test them in there. And we just happened to have a couple of machines running, mm-hmm. video running, and so I captured it, put it on there. So Mahogany Blues is on there. Dad and I sitting there testing out these two guitars.
Uh-huh.
And I got the best kind of dads you can have. Because he's a real teacher. You know, he brought us to a radio station, and we watched commercials being played, recorded. Watched the procedures, brought us into the transmitter room, said, you know, put your hands behind your back here and make sure you don't touch any of this stuff because it's high voltage, it'll kill you. Mm-hmm. But just watch what I'm doing and just do what I tell you. So I got to walk around, David and I both walked around places where most kids don't ever get to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, we played on the radio and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We were around recordings, sessions. And guitar work and good equipment and broadcast quality stuff.
Right.
All of our lives. And so we're just continuing on with a slow march of development. And we've formed into a policy, play in tune, play on time, play with a phraseological strategy, with passion and with insatiable curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, there may be other things to add to that, but I think that's probably a lot of it.
Yeah.
It'll take various forms as we go along, but it's a journey.
Tell me about fooling myself, if you don't mind.
Fooling myself. I was talking with Apple one time on Skype. She said that about the time I was playing a guitar thing there, and all of a sudden the song was there. And then I started to write stuff about how it was that I had become sort of reclusive and just stayed around the house and wasn't working. There wasn't anything to do. And so I was, things had changed.
Yeah.
And I just, some of it's fiction, some of it's fact. Some of it's just description. Mm-hmm. Apple said that the reason she was drawn to my music was because it was sort of like a ghost. She said she'd be walking around the supermarket and she would hear a song and she'd kind of turn around to look if anybody was back there. So, okay, well, somehow or another, I managed to do something with a piece of music that registers well with somebody.
Right.
How do I do that again?
Mm-hmm.
And so I used that line based on something that she had said. But it didn't come from any one particular set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm. It's just an idea that you may not have had you not been in the chat room on Mixposure.com and Apple been there the same evening and you had the conversation together.
I don't go out anymore, not like I did once before. Your photograph perfectly placed here on the floor. I'm so attracted to you, still can't believe that it's true. Thank you. may not answer it all. I just prefer to be perfectly still behind the door. Though I try to forget
how she'll say things sometimes in such a way that I wouldn't have thought to say. She'll say something like, you'll never know how strong you are until that's the only thing you got left.
Yeah.
She had a situation where she had was out shopping with a friend, and their friend told her to hurry up and get around to the back of the car and put the groceries in. And just as soon as she did, somebody came through the parking lot and killed the woman.
Her friend killed her friend?
Yeah, with a car. Ran over. And she just missed it.
It's awful.
And she had to face that.
Yeah.
And when she says something about having to be strong,
mm-hmm.
that's because she knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thankfully, I have not had to be so strong. Is that? But, you know, I just tried to learn that lesson from her. So, you know, that was in the Breath of Springs song. But you know, she'll come up and say something once in a while. It's really interesting how she says it. And it'll wind up being a lyric or some kind of part of the concept.
Yeah.
Just casual conversation most of the time. Doesn't have anything to do with trying to write a song. Matter of fact, most of the time when I try to write a song, I can't really do it.
God says I cannot stay with you. before I fly. There's only time for I love you, and we'll never say goodbye. 'Cause I will be there to comfort you, there in the melody you sing, and I'll be the sound of a robin song there in the breath of spring. And the angels are here to watch over.
To ask you about My Little Girl, could you tell us a little bit about how that song came to be?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Not at all.
Okay.
There was a point where I had to get off the road. We had spent 2 months time, and I was kind of emaciated. Long story short, I decided to be a carpenter for a while. I needed the upper body strength because my guitar had given me a case of scoliosis and some chronic neck disorder. Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of time with balance problem.
Wow.
I got back into life by, you know, that upper body work.
Mm-hmm.
I raced some cars for a while.
Wonderful. Wow, that's interesting.
Geometry, the physics that was involved in it, the disciplines were good.
Mm-hmm.
One summer, I think it's probably somewhere in August, many years ago, I was doing some termite work under a house in Charleston. Houses are 36 inches off the ground, and it's dirt under there.
Yeah.
And it was summertime, and you had to wear heavy clothes, or you would bash yourself to death.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Arctic clothes on.
Yeah.
Covered from head to toe, gloves and everything else.
Yeah. 95 degrees outside, 103% humidity.
At least.
Yeah.
It was pretty miserable.
Yeah.
I had been under there for several days at a time, you know, not seeing a soul.
Mm-hmm.
Crawling, you know, belly crawling as far as you know, as you could stand it and, you know, drag 200 pounds of tools in there by your arms. And frustrating.
Yeah.
And one day I was just laying there with my headphones on. And I had a padding on my and hooded over my head, and I took a 4-pound sledgehammer, try to hit a bridging block over my head, and it spun down really hard, and it hit me in the side of the head.
Oh man!
And I just laid back in the dirt, and I just felt myself going out. And it was a thunderstorm; it was raining like crazy. And my ears are ringing. I had a set of FM headphones on, and my ears are ringing. I think that's probably part of what helped me a little bit, because it bashed those things a little bit.
Man.
Shannon Faulkner just made an announcement that she was going to quit the Citadel. It was the thing I remember when I started coming to.
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking about the fact that her parents were coming down to get her. And I thought, you know, I would not want to be anywhere near those parents when they're coming after the kid like that.
Yeah.
You know that's a powerful force. You don't want to get in the way of somebody's doing that. And then I said, where are my daughters? I don't even know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's where it started. Yeah. I just laid there and just kind of imagine what I'd say to him if I got a chance.
Yeah.
Figuring I wasn't going to get a chance because it was, you know, I was feeling really bad.
Yeah.
And I had a long way to crawl. I just lay there for a long time and didn't move.
Yeah.
And I finally realized I wasn't going to die. I started to crawl on out. And then it became necessary for me to try to get back in touch with my daughter, which, you know, being on the road, It's just an abusive thing to a family. You can't really do it. It's just a wicked way to live.
Yeah.
And I tried my best not to be wicked with it. You know, I was not a drinker, and I had been for a long time. And there was a point where I stopped all that.
Yeah.
Stopped cold about 1982. No smoke, no drink, no nothing. It's still that way today. I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And counting my brain cells, because I can count on one hand.
yeah. Like, I'm going to, you've been talking to me about Fibonacci numbers and relationships and phraseology and all that kind of stuff. And now you're trying to tell me you got two brain cells. Well, I'm not buying it, Mac.
Maybe three. I don't know. Anyway, I wrote the song and went to Greenville, South Carolina, where my brother was living at the time and had some recording facility there. And we put that song together. And I presented it to both of them as a Christmas present, which I don't know that they appreciated or enjoyed because of the situation.
Yeah.
And
but it was an action that you could take to...
Speak my mind in a way that might speak after I was not able to.
Yeah.
And I figured to mark some time, because there was a point where I had to play some reverse psychology on my oldest daughter, who was decided that she didn't want to go to college at one point when she had credentials to be there, a scholarship as an artist. Mm-hmm. And so... I remember seeing what I thought was kind of a cruel thing. I said, I felt like I've always been a loser all my life. And I really hated that about myself. But you know what? I hate it worse than you. And she got really, really mad at me. You know, and her head turned around a few times, just like the movie. Huh? And she yelled at me, just like a goth mocker, you know. And then a couple of days later, she was enrolled in college. And so I figured, if that's what it took to get her to go to college, then, and if she hates me for it, or if she doesn't want to talk to me about it or anything like that, she did the right thing. And I had to do what I did. You know, it's the only thing I could see that I could do to make that happen. So the fact that she's able to make it on her own as an artist, as a commercial artist, lives up in Chicago, did quite well. I did the right thing.
All up to you.
grass grew in white. And you know we've come so far. You're my pride and joy. You're my shining star. Now as I give you away, there is just one thing left I can say, darling. Here's to your strength. Here's to your day.
Are going to steal from you, and I particularly am interested in this story about your father and y'all's neighbor out there on the farm. Would you be kind enough to share that with us? I think people really will get a kick out of this.
Yeah,
I think so.
It's back in the 30s sometime, or 40s, early 40s maybe. My father was the last child of sharecroppers. Mm-hmm. Lived on the edge of a cotton plantation in a shack. And you had to have the basic necessities. You had to have a shotgun, you had to have an axe, and you had to have an animal, a mule or an ox. And that's what you had to have if you're going to survive in that situation.
Uh-huh.
So my grandmother handled all those things. Now, she didn't have a whole lot of education, but, you know, she made soap and she made miracles happen out of things that they had there on that farm, you know, the chickens and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Grandpa went into town, rode the train into town 25 miles away to work in a cotton mill. And those were the choices. Dad, as a boy, he picked cotton with my grandmother, and they were there in the fields with the descendants of slaves. Now, they were not on the other side, not cracking whips. They were out there picking cotton with them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your setting. Grandmother used that axe to cut wood. Granddad noticed that some of the wood was disappearing. And so he decided to take his bracing bit and drill a hole in one of the pieces of wood, open one of the shotgun shells, pour the powder, not the shot bead, but the powder,
mm-hmm.
and mixed up some paste.
Yeah.
Closed the hole back up and threw it back on the pile. Now, in the morning, I had these cooking stoves, you know, they your wood stoves.
Uh-huh.
You've seen those things.
Oh, yeah, I have. I have.
In the morning, what you would have is country ham, you have eggs, and you have grits.
Uh-huh. I wish I didn't know what was coming.
So, granddad, you're sitting around. All of a sudden, they hear this noise, you know, in the morning.
Yeah.
Big boom. And all the women folk, you know, they've been eating breakfast and they were, you know, weeping in the blankets. What was that noise? I don't know. I didn't hear any noise. But they, you know, they found out. And they said it probably was a rough time, you know, cleaning the grits off the ceiling and stuff like that. That's the way you settle things. You know, you have to judge, and there was no lawyers in the law. Man, it settles their problem.
That is the definition of karma, right there. That is it.
So when my grandmother said to me, son, and Dad said the same thing to him, they said it over and over, son, if a man will lie to you, the next thing he will do is steal from you.
Liar gonna steal from you.
And that's honestly, it's the truth. And I think about it every time, you know, I hear those voices and them saying that to me. And, you know, whenever you see one, you're going to see the other. It's just a matter of looking for it. It's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you don't catch it, but it's going to be there somewhere.
Yeah. And if it's not yet, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, it's a matter of time.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just basic human nature there.
Yeah.
You know, those are the jewels. You know, those are the family jewels.
I love that. I tried to tell that a couple of times when I was DJing on the live show. Well, actually, I think I did it once on the live show and once on one of the recorded shows that I did, and I muffed it both times. But I'm sure glad I got to be with you. I got to hear that from you again. It kills me.
Yeah. That statement never gets old to me.
Yeah.
One thing is, if you want to see fine examples of a photographic mean and the use of Fibonacci and the use of golden mean in cinematography, check out a movie called Appaloosa.
Appaloosa.
And even the end of it, when Tom Petty sings a song called I Don't Scare Easy, he probably came to me and said, sing me a song about golden mean. And he said, okay. Everything to do with the phrasing of the song, I Don't Scare Easy by Mudcrutch, which is Tom Petty, is done using golden mean phraseological phrasing.
Makes me think of Yesterday. Scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, my darling, how I love your legs.
But
the scrambled eggs thing was actually the first line of the, that's right. What they had.
Yeah, that's right. They had a phrase first.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that that's important, I think, here is that whatever it takes so that someone would be inspired, someone would go after their musical project with more sincerity, more passion, more accuracy, more everything, and find ways to make it so that it strikes the soul with deeper intensity.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, that's the objective. Nobody has a handle on that. Everybody.
Everybody's free to take a shot at it, though.
Everybody's trying is the process. Never ending, but immensely satisfying.
You have been listening to The Mix Files on Mixtreme Radio from Mixposure.com. This has been part two of the Max Sanders interview, and we hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cooter. Hope to see you again next time on The Mix Files. I appreciate you listening.
Give me a chance.
Well, you're doing it right now. You're doing a wonderful thing right now.
Okay.
And I do appreciate it, man.
All right.
And most certainly I will.
Okay.
You take good care, my friend.
Number 5.